Continue reading. We'll go into Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 13. The Word of God says this: "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets wisdom. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are paths of peace. She's a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble." This is the word of the Lord. So the book of Proverbs is essentially a book about wisdom. And wisdom, in a very broad sense, is rightly understanding the world around you. So that almost in every time and in every culture, people have attempted wisdom. So we have a few American proverbs, a lot of them Benjamin Franklin authored, but ideas, you know, like early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. You know, God helps those who help themselves. It's a proverb, it's not in scripture, right? Put a little bit away for a rainy day. You've heard these types of things. They've been said to you from time to time. And what secular wisdom does is it's really essentially information gained over time, that people have lived their lives and they've had successes and they've had failures. Things have gone right, things have gone wrong, and they've learned something of the world that they live in, and they codify it in this thing called wisdom that they then pass down to the generations that follow them in the hopes that they won't have to make every mistake that they made. But I want to suggest to you this morning that true wisdom is more than grandpa's sayings. I mean, we love our older family members. They did incredible things. They have wise things to say. But I want to suggest to you that grandpa's advice is not true wisdom, as good as it may be. It is culturally and experientially bound. It is wrought with the errors of finitude. True wisdom, that is the true knowledge of the world around us, doesn't come from earthly men and women. It has its source somewhere else. And the Proverbs tell us this. Chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Knowledge is synonymous with wisdom here. Chapter 2, verse 6 that we just read, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Throughout the Proverbs, the message is over and over again that God is the source and the author of wisdom. He gives wisdom, but even more than that, wisdom is the nature and the character of God applied to the world that we live in. And therefore, God is the only source of true wisdom. Though our elders in the culture have done many great things, and their proverbs provide bits and pieces of truth, they are only true in so much as they derive that truth from God himself. And I think this is important. If we're going to be people of wisdom, if we're going to learn something of the Proverbs, we have to define what wisdom is. And I think what we're lacking is a God-centered vision of what wisdom is. That wisdom is not simply putting a little bit away each month or waking up early to get to work. That wisdom is centered squarely in the character of God. That God is wisdom. Let me say a couple more things, four to be exact, about what wisdom is and what it isn't. Before we move on, we're going to talk about what wisdom is, and we're going to talk about how you get it, and then we're going to talk about the results of it. Let's talk about what it is for a second, first thing. Wisdom is not salvation. This is really important because the effects of wisdom are very good. The outcome of the one who practices wisdom is beautiful and right and flourishing, but let's be clear about this. No amount of wisdom can save you. No amount of wisdom can deliver your best life now. You know, one of my fears about preaching through the Proverbs, I'll be honest with you, one of the reasons I've put it off for all these years is that we would overplay the role of wisdom. Wisdom is a godly thing that the Lord commands his people to pursue, but some Christians would have it that it would replace Jesus Christ and the salvation that he brings. Like the idea that if I practice wisdom perfectly, that it will deliver me the right and good and perfect life. And if you read Scripture, as highly valued as wisdom is, Solomon tells us there is a place where it becomes vanity and pointlessness, that there are limits to wisdom. It is not salvation, but wisdom will lead you to the beautiful and the good in this world. Secondly, wisdom and its opposite, foolishness. They are not quite the same as sin and righteousness. Wisdom and foolishness are not the same as sin and righteousness, such that not everything that is foolish is sin, but everything that is sin is foolish. It's a mouthful, isn't it? That the role, that wisdom and foolishness play a role in sin and righteousness. That is, that wisdom leads to righteousness, sin leads to foolishness. Let me give you an example of this, a better distinction. So if you're married, I think it's unwise to be close friends with someone of the opposite sex that is not your spouse. And so here we have the difference between sin and foolishness. I don't think it's a sin to be close friends with somebody of the opposite sex. I think it's foolish. It may be permissible, but it doesn't mean it's wise. And the wise man flees foolishness, not simply because it's sin, but because it leads to sin itself. This is a very important distinction that I'll talk a little bit more about it later on, but I think this is one that trips us up. Third, in defining what wisdom is, it's important to notice wisdom is about all the gray areas of life. I know we don't like this because we like to be black and white people, but I got a little insight for you. The Bible's a really big book, but it doesn't say everything about everything. It has lots of things to say about lots of stuff, but wisdom is what fills in the gaps about the knowledge of God and the applications and the specific areas of our life where Scripture doesn't directly speak to something. So you think about, you might be trying to figure out if you should take a new job. You know, do I take this job? Do I take that job? Should I stick with the one that I have? The Bible doesn't say go work for Walmart or work for Amazon. It doesn't say that. This is where you need wisdom. There's a big decision in front of you, like who should I marry? Well, the Bible doesn't say exactly who you should marry. It does give wisdom on the matter. I mean, 2 Corinthians 6:14 says you should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And what the Scripture is saying there is you should be weighing heavily the spiritual state of your spouse. That should help you to make the decision. But it doesn't tell you if you should marry Jane or Anne. But wisdom does. And that's why wisdom is for all of the gray areas of life, all the things that we're not sure of. But all of those things are going to be, wisdom is always a derivative of the Word of God. That what we find when we start talking about wisdom is, it's always the application. It's always a derivation of what Scripture is saying. It's derived out of it. And fourth and finally, with defining wisdom, one last addendum. Wisdom does not hold the same authoritative, infallible weight as Scripture. Let's be very careful about that. Scripture holds the authority. What Scripture speaks to clearly is what is infallibly true. Wisdom is not as infallibly true. In fact, there is this need to practice a freedom of the conscience, you might say, in wisdom. That there are times and places in which a piece of what is wise for me may not be what is wise for you. I know we want to just tell me the blanket statements, but it's a moving target. So let me give you an example of that. Jesus says, if your eyes cause you to lust, then pluck them out. You know, the idea is remove anything that would lead you into lust. I have an older pastor friend who's very, very wise, godly person that told me he doesn't go to the beach during the day because his eyes might be led to women who are in bathing suits. Now, I think that's great, but I like to go to the beach. And the freedom of conscience on that, I don't have that same conviction. And so there are times when wisdom requires us to understand its application and to practice a freedom of consciousness. All right, let's transition a second. Let's talk about how wisdom is gained. This proverb is written in the voice of a father to the son. And it says in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, you will gain this understanding that you're looking for." Proverbs is, it speaks in the language of a father as to a son. And I think it is right and appropriate to say that when we read the Scriptures, we read this as God our Father speaking to us, his sons and daughters. And so what he does in these Proverbs is he's telling us how we go after wisdom. He gives it directly. He gives four different ways that it should happen. The first, he says, is that you have to desire it. To gain wisdom, you have to want wisdom. He says in his scripture, to treasure my commandments, to seek wisdom like silver. Wisdom is a precious metal that should be pursued by his people. There should be a desire that you would have the knowledge of God to rightly apply in the things of your life. And that may seem obvious, but I think the desire for wisdom is probably the most ignored part of seeking it. You would be surprised. Most people don't want wisdom. Most people don't hold it up as a value that they're going to pursue and look for and want. Most people do whatever feels good in the moment. Everybody kind of shoots from the hip. They don't treasure it. They don't go after it. It's not something they deeply desire. And I'll tell you, my experience from pastoral ministry is that most of what gets us into trouble is not so much sin as it is foolishness. We don't understand to desire it because we don't see the way that it would impact our lives. You have to desire wisdom. Secondly, to gain wisdom, the Lord says, this is deep, you just have to ask for it. And look at what he says in verse 3. He says, if you call out for insight and you raise your voice for understanding, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you will find the knowledge of God. Verse 6, it says, for the Lord gives wisdom. He stores it for the upright. The gospel news for the lost and the confused and the unknowing is that God gives wisdom. It comes from God. He's the author and the source. He says, call out for it. Raise your voice and the Lord will give it from himself. He stores it for the upright. The upright are those who have been made righteous in Christ, that the Lord has been banking this resource of wisdom for you who have been saved by faith in Jesus Christ. This is an amazing gospel truth. You don't have to generate wisdom out of yourself. Wisdom is not something that has to come out of your character or your million experiences in the world. You don't have to go to Harvard Business School or Reform Seminary to find wisdom. No, God gives it to the upright. God doesn't give it to the smart. He doesn't give it to the rich. He doesn't give it to the churchy. He gives it to the upright. And the upright are those who have been saved by Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ, the Lord has this resource. And he is saying, if you do not know, ask. Ask. God, should I take this job or not? Lord, I don't know how to parent this child. Who should I marry? What should I do? Should I go left? Should I go right? And the Lord gives the promise to his people that he will deliver wisdom. Ask, he says, and you have understanding of the knowledge of God, of wisdom. Third, the Lord says in Proverbs 2, if you want wisdom, God says, pursue it. Verse 4, he says, search for wisdom as if a hidden treasure. How would you search for a hidden treasure? You would search voraciously, passionately, and unwaveringly until you found it. And when you found it, you would grab it. And God says, you ought to do this with wisdom. He's saying, though you ask for wisdom, he promises to give it. Part of the way that God gives wisdom is through our pursuit of it. When I think of pursuing wisdom, I think what it requires is a diligent searching, a patient waiting on the Lord to give it. And diligent searching, it implies a sort of a difficulty in the process. You know, I think the hard thing about wisdom is it's not always the thing that first avails itself to us. You know, it's something that has to be sought. It's something that has to be looked for. This is why the carnal man has no wisdom, because he can't control the impulses of his flesh in such a way that he would be patiently looking for the knowledge of God. He's always drugged left and right by the impulses of his flesh. And he ends up with that which is foolish, that leads to sin and that leads to destruction. Search for wisdom is hard, and it has a conundrum in the middle of it. And I alluded to this conundrum earlier. That is that there is this difference between what is permissible and what is wise. But I think what we struggle with is to find the distinction between what is permissible and what is foolish. And consider the example of who to marry. You know, when I was a younger man, there was this beautiful girl that I got along with really, really well. And I really wanted to date her. She wasn't a Christian. And so I didn't. Now, I don't know if it was really an outright sin to date her, to get to know her, but I don't think it was wise to do such. See, there's this distinction. You know, the path to destruction is not being able to understand the difference between foolishness and sin, between what is permissible and what is wise. And it's part of the search and the discernment of the people of God to understand those things. And part of what it means to gain wisdom is to really ask the question, where does this lead? Where is this going long term? That requires the pursuit of wisdom to answer that question. Fourth and finally, Proverbs tells us that if you want wisdom, you must receive and treasure it. Listen to what verse 1 says. Receive and treasure up my commandments to you. So what happens with wisdom is that a lot of the time it clashes with my preferences. You know, my preference was to date the cute girl. It's what I wanted to do. But wisdom said, that's foolishness. It should be fleed because this is not a believer like you are. And what happens is that when wisdom clashes with my preferences, I have to receive it. I mean, you know this as parents, right? I mean, if you've told your children this, you can put wisdom on a silver platter right in front of them. You can say it every day and they will ignore it and push it away. Just because it's told to you doesn't mean that you've received it, and even better, doesn't mean that you treasure it. You know, sometimes we take it and, okay, this is the wise thing, but you hate what is the wise thing. No, it has to be the treasure of saying, God, I know that you have a godly spouse out there for me. And I'm going to trust the goodness of Christian marriage and the vision for that, even though it doesn't meet my preferences at the moment. Wisdom has to be received and treasured. And finally, there are the results. Let's look at this a second, because there's a long list. Proverbs 3 gives this long list of results from wisdom. It says this, "Blessed is the man who finds wisdom and gains understanding." Okay, what is the blessedness? Proverbs doesn't leave us to guess here. It says it gives us, I marked down 7. There's a lot more, but I just marked down 7. The blessedness is this from Proverbs 3. It says, wisdom leads to long life, riches, honor, pleasantness, peace, life for your soul, walking securely during your days. These are incredible promises by God. God is saying that wisdom leads to things like long life, riches, honor, pleasantness, walking securely. Now here's the catch. Wisdom is not a guarantee of those things. You know, we know this from Job. Job does all the right things. Job is a wise man, and yet everything becomes calamity for us. And the idea is that the wisdom that's why wisdom isn't salvation. But wisdom, that just because you do the wise thing doesn't guarantee that everything will go right. But there is this biblical truth that says that wisdom is directly and strongly correlated with good things like peace and wealth and honor, and that the opposite is also true, that foolishness is directly correlated to destruction and sin and short life and dishonor. You know these things, right? You've seen this play out in life. You take the promise of long life. You know, the promise of long life, the scripture's saying, that wisdom leads to long life. Okay, wisdom, we might say, would be things like, you know, eating well, taking care of your body, not smoking, managing stress, creating a retirement account, being a part of a church, creating a loving family. Those would all be wise things to do. And every secular scientific study will tell you that if you take care of your body, if you don't smoke, if you manage stress, if you surround yourself with family and church, and you have means in your older age, that you will live longer. Doesn't guarantee that we're all going to make it to 85 years old or whatever that number is for you, but there is a correlation. I know, you know, the wealth. You know, we like to be careful about this with wealth. We like to think, okay, let's not get too much with the, but there is a correlation, a direct correlation between wisdom and wealth. The idea that the foolish man, you know, makes poor decisions with his money. He takes on debt. He leverages himself because of the passions of his flesh. He doesn't hold on to jobs. He doesn't advance and work hard, and he ends up in poverty. The wise man invests in all those things. He doesn't take on too much debt. He works hard every day. He's consistent. And you know what? At the end of his days, he gains wealth. Some of you in here have experienced that. There are some people, I mean, you ought to talk to them. I call them the millionaires next door. Not because they made $1 million, but because they were wise in going about their days. And it is part of the reward of wisdom is that they have wealth. That's a good thing. You think about the honor. You know, honor should matter to us. Your reputation in the community should matter to you. And men and women of honor, that's not just a title given to people because they walked around being foolish all the time, walking into sin and destruction. No, honor comes because you've walked the wise ways for many days. And so when you pass by, the people say, there goes such and such. They're a man, they're a woman of honor because they walk wisely. You think of peace. What are the people that experience peace? They've invested in their families. You know, they've worked hard in their lives. They've been consistent in their faith. And all around them has built this garden of flourishing. They've become this oak of righteousness. And they don't experience the war and the upheaval and all of the dissonance that the foolish man has. I mean, what the Proverbs are saying is that wisdom is to be desired like precious silver because it brings good things. Foolishness is to be fleed because it leads to destruction, short life, poverty, dishonor, lack of security, upheaval. Wisdom is the character of God rightly applied to your life. God gives it to his people who desire it when they ask for it, when they pursue it, when they receive it, when they treasure it, and it produces something of a beautiful life. Not the life that we will have when Jesus returns, but a life that makes something good of this side of glory. Let's pray.